All right, well, thank you very much, Sifu, for this. I guess it's our fifth chat now.
Yeah.
So we've talked about the three sort of basic hand forms and Chi Sao. And today we're going to be talking about the Mok Zhong. So just to preface some of the conversation, I think that the wooden dummy is a fairly iconographic and distinctive symbol.
Yeah.
It's something people think about with Wing Chun.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be something we want to say to maybe demystify or explain the symbol a bit.
Sure.
It also appears, like, at least to me, very odd at first glance. It seems like a weird, like the actual physical of the dummy itself.
Mm-hmm.
Seems very strange as a tool or apparatus.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mok Zhong form and practicing on the dummy is a more advanced kind of training. It's in our club, it's Lu Session above typically.
Yeah.
And it's a longer form as well, with a lot more sections and series of movements. So, to start, why in a general sense do we train with wooden dummy?
Yeah, that's just a big question, so I'm going to answer
yes.
it as I usually have in many different ways.
Yeah.
When you look at the Wing Chun curriculum and you see that corresponding to each form, there's a whole other series of skills and drills and things that people need to master. And typically the form matches the complementary exercises and things. So that's why when you're looking at something like the Mok Zhong, it is advanced because it's the fourth form that people typically learn. The fourth form.
Yeah.
So by that time, they're going to have a foundation in their horse around movement, around stepping, around kicking, around hand techniques, and even integration between the two. So what does the Mok Zhong do that, without the Mok Zhong, let me say this a different way as well. What does the Mok Zhong accomplish that the other forms maybe can't? And so the way that I see it and understand it is more complex and it is more dynamic. It's more of an integrated expression of the art. It has very dynamic stepping and footwork. It has a complex series of techniques flowing from one to the next. It's around changing center lines with different lines at different angles. It's leg jamming and kicking and stepping while doing hand replacement. So you're really doing an integration piece in terms of sort of the overview. And to really help your body just start to naturally feel these patterns that want to flow from one to the next. So that's one way to think about it. And then just like each of the forms has these sort of essences, like Silam Tao's, it's about your horse, and it's about energetic sensitivity, and it's really about the center line and learning, a handful of hand positions, right? And then Chung Q is you're taking all of that, and then now you're putting it in motion and working on your dynamic balance, on your challenge, and coordinating hands and feet, and changing the center line, right, with footwork. And then Biu Qi is, so it just keeps elaborating.
Mm-hmm.
This is my point, instead of talking about all the old forms. So what are some of the essences of the Mok Zhong form? Well, for me, number one is the footwork is so dynamic.
Mm.
You're going in, you're going out, you're moving laterally, you're changing line. So whereas when our typical stepping drills, we're usually doing linear things, right?
Well, and
the other Hyun Ma.
Yeah. Sorry, the other forms too were more on a line or some toe on a point.
Yeah.
And this one seems more triangular almost.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then stepping in and then also stepping out, cutting across and stepping in again. So it really is now helping you integrate all the necessity of movement that you're likely going to need some sort of physical altercation.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, straight line, center line, a couple of steps or, moving laterally or just one chunky ma step, right?
Mm-hmm.
It makes you really have good footwork. So that would, I'd say, is one essence. And then the second one is then distancing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Mok Zhong doesn't collapse So you're distancing around how deep do you step in to get into the right position to be able to control center line with power without being jammed up or without being too far away. So it really helps you get clear on how to step in deeply on somebody. Now, it's great, you know, if you have a partner to help you with these things, but, you know, partners are sort of dynamic themselves, so they can collapse, they can... Mukjong doesn't make mistakes. You have to accommodate around it. So that's the other thing that I think is in essence, is that a lot of the movements are, well, what happens, what do you do when you get stopped?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because those Mukjong arms are made out of solid red oak. I mean, they jiggle a little bit, but they don't give or collapse like a partner will. So this is really a great practice, and I think it's probably, I don't say the most important, but definitely one of the top two important essences of this form, is if you train it with this intention, that right on contact of being stopped, it teaches you how to then change into the next movement, so that you can learn how to develop fan sao. We call that continuous attacking, right? We don't stop. Even if someone stops or blocks us, we change the line, we keep going. So that metaphor I use of water going down the stream, you know, hits a bit of a dam or a boulder or a log, you know, it changes, but it doesn't stop. And so that's the same thing with the Mukjong, if you play it that way.
Okay.
So that's the other thing about the Mukjong, is you can play it any way you want. You just take the fat dough and say, I'm going to play the Mukjong, focus on center line. Awesome. I'm going to do a relaxation. Awesome. I'm going to do it around coordination. Awesome. So you can polish your fat dough on the Mukjong just like you can polish your fat dough in any of the forms. But specific to the nature of that form, for me, it's about how do you change when, you know, you've got someone who's like a Mukjong, like solid, they're not moving, they're, you know, you got to change. You got to change, find the sweet spot and hit, and then keep doing that. So what do we have? We have learning dynamic footwork, we have proper distancing, and then we also have learning how to change and flow with fan sao. Now you'll see sometimes people will, you know, make a lot of noise on that Mukjong because they'll use it to do conditioning. Okay, if that's what you're doing, then sure, and but be clear about it. You're using it to condition, but it's not necessarily an essence of the Mukjong's nature. It's not an intention for you to use it to condition your forearms or anything else, but you could use it for that. It's like you use a tree or a metal bar or, you know, a big pot full of bearings or whatever you want to punch, like, right? So, but don't confuse that with that it being the nature of the form. It's not meant to condition you. Right? It's meant to help you teach your skill, work the fat though. So, and you'll notice many of the techniques that were in the Mukjong, you know, it's preparing you for things that are going to likely emerge in a self-defense situation that is very dynamic with somebody who likely has some skill. Because otherwise, all you really need is your punch, your palm strike, and maybe a pak sao for a fight, really. Like, bang, go away, step in, get the hands hit.
Yeah.
This is what somewhere is gonna be more complex, is gonna give you a bit of a challenge, and that's where you're gonna have all these interesting movements coming out that are a little bit more complex, more dynamic, but still aligned with the fat dough. Okay. So again, you know, I've said this so many times in class, the Wing Chun is such an amazing art, and that people don't recognize that we're training at such a high level, even as a beginner. You're training like high level stuff. And so when you start training things that are high level in Wing Chun, it's almost esoteric. It's almost just more academic or to know, like you're rarely going to need the things that are coming out of this in a real self-defense situation. Okay, but this is more of an expression of the art that you could, you know, be very playful if you're doing like dynamic qi sao with another skilled Wing Chun practitioner. And a lot of the things from the Mukjong are going to come out. It's going to look beautiful and wonderful, but for most fighting, it's like, not really. You should be able to finish things pretty quickly without having to do these more complex dynamic movements. And yet they're available to you. You just have that in your back pocket on top of all the other gifts, you know. So, yeah, so maybe I'll pause there. big answer. I don't know if there's more specific questions, but I can go on more as well. So I'll just opportunity here for clarification or nuance.
Maybe just a question about the conditioning point. And again, it might be depending on your intent when you go to the Mahjong or what you're playing, mm-hmm. what your intent is to play while you're playing with it. But what would you say on the difference between hitting it really hard or hitting it softer? Does that just depend on purely on your intention, or is there sort of, or how would you speak to the two different intentions there?
I need you to ask that question again.
Okay. So I guess I'm wondering if part of the practice here is to learn to hit hard, mm-hmm. or if it's more to be softer, or if it's both of those things.
Well, if you want to hit hard, you get the punching bag.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the only way you're going to get your developer power.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the Mahjong can help you mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, if you want to hit with power and release it, you have to have the right distancing. Mm-hmm. You have to have the right line. You have to have the right energetic flow. Like, if you pull the trigger too quickly mm-hmm. before you really penetrated the other person's ethereal space,
yeah.
you know, and then if you're too jammed up,
yeah.
right? So, but, you know, you can go up to the Mahjong and, you know, using the Popeye, for example, flow in there,
mm-hmm.
feel a little bit of compression, and then just a little bit of jing, just to like feel the penetration into the Mahjong body.
Yeah.
Now that's different than smashing the arms with your forearms, or right. hitting it really hard and fast with your palms or your knuckles.
Right.
Okay, so you're actually going in and feeling and probing and bringing a little bit of your body and your chong chi and then your
right.
jing into the technique.
Okay.
So that's different than, you know, what I'll sometimes do this for my forearms.
Yeah.
I'll do these Dai Bong styles with shift, and I'll just like wing my arm into the, just over and over and over, and I'll work it from here all the way up here and then down, and just,
yeah, yeah.
you know, and put a whole schwack of Dita Chao on it, right?
Yeah.
But I don't feel like I need to do too much more conditioning other than maybe when I jam the legs with my the outside of my calf,
mm-hmm.
you know, because when I attack that wooden man's leg, like I attack it. I'll just like put it there and stick, like,
mm-hmm.
like I'm trying to cut that leg out when I enter it with somebody. Like, that's my intent.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just to feel what their leg's up to. It's like I'm taking that line.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna see what I can clear out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Okay. I guess something else I've been wondering about the form is it seems to have a different, maybe it doesn't, but it seems to have a different take on kicking potentially. So we had a conversation about Chung Q where you put your weight back on the back foot or somewhat artificially to kick, and that's sort of a sign that somebody's pushed you back there.
Yeah.
Is that similar intent with the Mahjong? Because there sort of seems like there's different kinds of kicks going on. There's some.
Yeah, and it's the same principle because you'll
okay.
be, with the exception of the side kick
okay.
That you do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but everything else, you're sticking to the Mahjong.
Yeah.
Okay, while you're actually doing the kick. You'll
yeah.
have a pack on the leg, or you know, a bong will be sticking, right, as you slide down the leg, things like that.
Yeah.
So you'll be engaged in the other one, and even the one where you're doing the side kick, like really, like the movement is packing the elbow, striking underneath the forearm, and then your arms are still out there engaging, and then the side kick comes out. So.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see too much of a paradox or contradiction.
Right. But the kicks are still, like, it looks a bit like, but maybe it's because it's, again, just from the outside, it looks a bit like you're almost leading with kicks sometimes, but is it still,
mm-hmm.
the principle still, they put you in that situation in which yep. you're about to kick.
Yeah, like on that side kick, you know, it's like, you know, imagine like a situation where there's, you know, someone coming down the tracks really quickly with a
yeah.
punch.
Yeah.
You're changing the line,
yeah.
packing to clear the elbow.
Yeah.
There's an exposed hole there, so then I'm striking in two quick movements.
Yeah.
Right. And then while I'm jamming them up here, I can take out their knee all in one movement.
Right.
So what that, you know, it's great because these questions also remind me of things that, you know, get buried so much into habit.
Yeah.
I can make them conscious again.
Yeah.
The other thing with the Mahjong is you're now learning how to tap with your entire body. when you come into the center line, it's you're jamming with the leg, the hand, like,
yeah.
And so the kicks are, it's not just hands anymore, it's like the whole thing is coming now if you're put into that position.
Right. Yeah.
So again, for me, it's more of a an integrative form. It really gets people to like, okay, you're not just working hands, you're not just working legs, it's like it's your entire being that is showing up on the center line now. And for me, that has vast philosophical and life lessons or ramifications about, you know, being fully committed, fully integrated in I'm here right now, as opposed to I'm showing up a little bit or I'm tentative, or it's like I'm all in.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.